and welcome to this campfire edition of The Civic Flame, a podcast where we take a deep dive into the U.S. Constitution and look at how it is, and isn't, working in today's America. For those of you new here, campfires are where we step a little bit outside of exploring the strict text of the Constitution and shift our lens to broader socio-legal issues. This one is called, this year, I Hope You're Not Okay. I'm your host, Amber Veo, professor of law and policy at Worcester State University, and I'm starting out our post-winter break comeback with this campfire to hand you, believe it or not, despite the title, a present for the new year. Are you ready? Here it is. I give you permission to stop pretending everything is okay. Why am I doing that, and how are we not okay? That's what we're going to talk about in a minute. Pull up a seat by the fire and get your boxing gloves out, because we're coming into this new year swinging. Have you looked at the news lately? I mean, what? How? Huh? If you've followed me on Instagram, thank you, you may have seen my recent post where I put up some crazy headlines with a quote from the Star Wars show Andor. Now, if you're not a sci-fi geek, this whole episode might drive you crazy, but we're going to roll with it anyway. The quote, in various forms, has been attributed to a lot of different people over the years. But in the show Andor, a young revolutionary and freedom fighter, Karras, says, "The pace of our oppression outstrips our ability to understand it. And that is the real trick of the imperial thought machine. It's easier to hide behind 40 atrocities than a single incident." I can't get this quote out of my head. It's like Trump ally Steve Bannon echoing famed Nazi Joseph Goebbels saying, "You should flood the zone with shit," meaning you can send out all of this horrible stuff at once. People will try to unpack it or attack it one thing at a time, but they can't because it is so fast that we lose focus. You're basically burying people, or as they say, if you can't blind them with brilliance, baffle them with BS. In this case, we're burying them with it. Now, full disclosure to those of you who do love sci-fi, I didn't love Andor. The pacing at the beginning didn't really work for me, but I think it's brilliant on every other level. It's just not my favorite. But I watched it because it is probably the best political commentary of our time. Although that being said, there were some moments in Wicked for Good that really stood the test. But I know that the Mon Mothma scene is the one where she's giving the Emperor hell has been a big one online. It's been a great scene. But I think one of the things that best describes the U.S. now isn't that final moment where we burn the sunset for resistance. It's the address that Andor's mom or adopted mom says at her funeral. She says, "But we were sleeping. I've been sleeping. And I've been turning away from the truth I wanted not to face. There is a wound that won't heal at the center of the galaxy. There is a darkness reaching like rust into everything around us. We let it grow. And now it's here. It's here. And it's not visiting anymore. It wants to stay. The Empire is a disease that thrives in darkness. It is never more alive than when we sleep. It is easy for the dead to tell you to fight. And maybe it's true. Maybe fighting is useless. Perhaps it's too late. But I'll tell you this. If I could do it again, I'd wake up early and be fighting those bastards from the Empire from the start. Fight the Empire." It's a powerful quote, and you know, President John Kennedy wrote a book called Why England Slept, examining the ways he thought world wars could be stopped by vigilance beforehand. Future historians might well write one about why America slept. In 11th grade in the 90s, I wrote an essay comparing the fall of the Roman Empire to the United States. I was telling my husband about this the other day, because after we watched a movie and he was linking the political commentary to everything going on today, he said, "Is this how you see things all the time?" And I said, "Yes, yes it is." He's like, "Well, that sounds terrible. How do you find joy?" Because despite all of the horrible content I bring you, I do think it is crucial, it is vital that we all find joy as much as possible. But it is difficult. You know, it is easier to find complacency, to be asleep. And I think that has been the problem over and over with everyone trying to convince themselves that everything is okay, with all of us trying to say, oh, well, yeah, it's not normal, but no, it's okay to just say this is not normal, this is not okay. You know, too many of us were asleep when George W. Bush stood on Ground Zero and said, the rest of the world will hear all of us. I remember that moment because it scared me more than September 11th. It was the moment where I knew, regardless of whatever would come next, we were going to war. And too many of us slept when his weapons of mass destruction turned out to be weapons of mass distraction. And then we made our own weapons of mass distraction with algorithms and social media and slept our way through them. Now, when Obama circumvented due process with drone strikes, we slept. But it's time to wake up. The Epstein files have some of the wealthiest, most powerful people in the world in them, implicated with real evidence in the most horrific crimes imaginable against children. Do we wring our hands and say, oh, how can we hold them accountable? They're so powerful. You know, do we sleep under the weight of dozens of distractions? Or do we do something about it? J.D. Vance's allies have said on the record that they don't want democracy. You know, Peter Thiel wants complete control of the world and will shortly have it if we don't stop him. Will we sleep and get distracted by Trump's Patriot Games? Jack Smith just explained in detail how Trump and his campaign were not just complicit in, but responsible for much of the January 6, 2021 insurrection that attempted to overthrow the government. He also noted that one of the reasons he hadn't been able to move forward with enough evidence to have stopped so much of what has been happening is that a Trump-appointed, we'll say judge, because I guess that's technically her role, but a judge-appointed lackey in Florida refused to let him. How long are we going to sleep on this erosion of our justice system, this sham of a court system that doesn't really do what it was intended to do, which is to hold part of the government accountable to the Constitution? Will we sleep on this, on everything else, like we did when Donald Trump allowed Elon Musk's fake Doge department to steal all of our data in what is likely the biggest data breach in world history, or allowed him to cut off money from everyone investigating him? Or when Elon and Trump said that Elon helped him win the 2024 election because he was good with computers. Mark Kelly stood up to Donald Trump, and today the Pentagon announced that it is punishing him publicly for doing it. Will we sleep while the least competent administration in American history tears down its challengers? Will we cover our eyes and be a toddler and say, if I can't see you, you can't see me, leave me alone? The president of the United States informed oil companies that he was going to kidnap the head of a foreign government, which is against multiple laws. And he did so without alerting Congress, which is required by law. And we sleep while the stock market booms because we dreamwalk our way to pretend that money for rich people is anything for the rest of us. We are not okay. Our country is not okay. Our country is not well. And it's time to accept that. One of my favorite professors never liked Noam Chomsky, and this professor was super chill, so I took his word for it because the only other person or people he said he disliked were actual war criminals. And then Noam Chomsky, Mr. Ethics, was found hanging out with Epstein. Why? For the same reason all of these awful men are allowed to get away with awful things. The rest of us sleep. Edmund Burke is famous for saying, "The only thing needed for evil to flourish is for good people to do nothing." Now, of course, that is a call out of people who are doing nothing, but it's also a reminder that that really is all they need. Because if we stop doing nothing, they have nothing to fall back on. There are more good people than there are terrible people. There are more of us with better ideas than there are terrible people with no ideas. And yet over and over, we don't. We don't demand that people put their actions where their words are. You say you care about ethics, then do the hard work of behaving ethically, Mr. Chomsky. You say you care about your religion, then do the hard work of fighting in love for your fellow human beings. Be willing to be shunned by those who love the status quo more than you love your principles. You say you love America, then do the hard work of educating yourself and holding yourself accountable, and the even harder work of holding accountable those around you. I understand how difficult it is to walk away from a culture that is steeped in this kind of MAGA belief system. It can be very alienating. It can feel as though you have no one to turn to, but there are people that you can turn to, and it is so corrosive to the soul to be living in a space where you are doing horrible things. It's worse when you're living in a space where you're allowing horrible things to be done in your name because you won't stand up to stop them. And, you know, like the Lorax says, if we don't care an awful lot, it won't get better. It won't go away. Everything is impossible until you face it. Or, to turn to my other sci-fi love, Captain Jean-Luc Picard, things are only impossible until they're not. It is so important for all of us in this new year to accept the fact that things are not okay, to know that we can find joy for ourselves, for our friends, for our families, despite things not being okay. Recognizing that things are not okay does not mean abandoning joy. It does not mean living in despair. It means finding ways to engage with community, finding ways, however small, to lift yourself and to lift others. It's a problem, I think, among some of my friends who are very, you know, adamant about protesting, that they will protest until they are just absolutely exhausted, absolutely drained, and feel as though the weight of the world is on their shoulders individually. But that's not true. You know, we have groups, teams, communities, networks, because we all need a day where we can just fall down and hide under a blanket. And we need somebody who can pick up the slack for us. Saying to do something, saying to be awake, is not to say, you know, go charge the empire with a sword right now, but it is saying, don't buy their bullshit and do your best to drag other people out of that nonsense as well. It's going to be something that matters this year. We're approaching the 250th birthday of the United States, and we have to go back to asking ourselves, what does it mean to be an American? And if we don't like that, then maybe it's time to make some changes. I know that walking through the grief of who we thought we were is difficult. I've lived my life in a constant identity crisis between who we can be and who we have been, finding a way to love my country when it has not always loved me back. It's not easy, and I'm not here pretending it's easy. What I'm here doing is giving you permission to start engaging in the struggle. I'm giving you permission to fail. I'm giving you permission to succeed, but to start by saying, it's not okay. We can't defeat any of this if we don't face it. As we get to that 250th mark as a nation, we can rise up and bring our highest ideals to life. Equality, democracy, liberty. These are and can be more than pretty words, if we wake up and commit to making them so. Or we can lose all of it, not just for ourselves, but for our children. It doesn't look like it does on TV. You know, it doesn't look like these big moments and Katniss Everdeen is singing the Hanging Tree song in the background. It doesn't look like, you know, Mel Gibson in the Patriot movie. Oh, that movie was such great propaganda when I was a teenager. It doesn't look like that. Sometimes it looks like being the person people know isn't going to buy the nonsense, being accountable, switching what you look at for information, following better sources, encouraging other people to do things. Revolutions have big moments, but those big moments come after lots of little tiny moments. And I think that it's something that we forget, the attention span that is required to engage in this. And it's something we need to go back to. So I hope you're not okay this New Year's. And I hope you reconcile the fact that you're not okay. And I hope you know that it's not you. It's probably not you. It's probably the world that is terrible. So follow me on Instagram, Blue Sky and Substack. Then go watch K-pop Demon Hunters, get a good soundtrack going, and get up. This is the year we choose not to be okay. And by choosing not to be okay, we're going to make it okay in the future. Take care out there and keep the civic flame burning bright. This Campfire edition of The Civic Flame is a Dr. Fun Sponge Media production, made with the help of writer Amber Veo and and sound producer, Matthew Munyon. Thanks for listening.